Today I wanted to speak about somebody who we're very familiar with but know very little about, and that's the Ran. First of all, like always, where do we get the information from? So the truth is there is not much information. The one who wrote up as much as possible of what we have, it was somebody called Feldman, Arya Feldman, and he was an American Rav who put out different maduras of Tshuvas Aran, Drashas Aran, Pirush Aran al HaTorah, and in the Akdama he brings as much material as he could on the Ran, and pretty much that's what there is, a little bit more here, there, or somewhere else, but that's what we have. What we have from the Ran, from contemporaries, actually not much in his form, biographical material, but quite a lot in his Talmud, the Rivash. So a lot of the things we have are written in the Tshuvas Rivash, one place or another, and that's where all the information comes from. So first, let's sketch out a little bit where the Ran, where he is, and so on. The Ran was Rabbi Nissim ben Ruvain from Girona, Spain. He was born approximately 1290 and was nifta approximately 1380. The dating is always based on, you know, the earliest things we have from him and who he could have learned by and so on and so forth, and then when people start mentioning him as being dead, and that's pretty much, those are the range that they come with, a few years this way, a few years that way. If he was born in 1290, it means he still overlapped a little bit with the Rashba, with the Rosh, with the Tur, the Miri, the Ralbag. Those around in the year 1300, all of them were alive. We don't know who the Ran's Rebbeim were. We assume that he learned by his father. He quotes his father as Maariv Rebbe and so on. Well, you know, always not clear. But we don't have a clear indication of who his Rebbeim were. We do know the Magid Mishnah was a chaver of his. They were contemporaries and sort of, we know that they knew each other and spoke of each other. And his Talmidim actually were the ones where we have, whatever we have from them. His Talmidim left over was Rev Chastoy Kreskes, who wrote a philosophical work called Oir Hashem. And his most famous Talmud is the Rivash, who was the giant, the Dor afterwards, wrote a lot of Tshuvas, Rivash, and from those Tshuvas, he occasionally mentions things about his Rebbe, and that's where we have most of our material from. We don't know much more than that. The one more Talmud he has, the Mukhi Yosef, who filled in on some excerpts he didn't write. He did leave over, it's not clear if he ever had a Rabbanis or really was a Rav, but it was clear that he was the Gadol HaDor. It's clear from the deference that they had to him and the fact that him and a colleague of his, Gittin, had to go through them, and the Rivash writes about him, we'll see in a second what he writes about him, that he was considered the Gadol HaDor B'Shaitoi. He wrote Chidushim on many Mesechtes. The Chidushim aren't the flavor of that Spanish Tkufa, the flavor of the Ramban, the Rashba, the Ra'ah. The Ran fits in quite well. Anybody who's had any experience, it's part of that same type of style of learning. He wrote a Pirush on the Rif. Now, the Pirush on the Rif is very interesting because it's not a Pirush on the Rif as much as it's bringing in parallel and adjunct halachic discussions. It seems that he understood that the Rif would become the Sefer HaPsak. He also felt that the Rif, being a Das Yechida, was going to, it needed to be fleshed out. And basically, in places that he feels are halachic topics, he brings in the shitas of Rishayim, argues, discusses, and so on. It almost appears as if he tried to make, like the Beisos around the Tur, he made this around the Rif. In the places where the Ran, where the Ran doesn't have anything in particular to say to be mefalpel, he usually brings Rashi as the running pirush on the Rif. So there basically seems to be a sense that he was taking the Rif as the next Shulchan Aruch, writing on the side the running pirush taken from Rashi, and being mefalpel and meirich in places that he felt there was more to be fleshed out than not just the Rif, not only the Rif's points. It's not even a pirush. It's more, I would say, a hashlama to the Rif than a pirush to the Rif. In places where the Rif is shver, a lot of times he'll write about it, sometimes not, which is very interesting. The places, the Masechtas, that we don't have the Ran on the Rif, we have Nuka Yosef, who was a Talmud of his, and wrote in a very similar style of sort of a compendium of Shitas and so on. I once heard from my late cousin, Rabbi Falshman Levitz, he said, if you want to learn a Masechta quickly, be in other words, you want to get the main points of Rishayim, if you learn the Rosh, the Rif, and the Ran, you have the basic shitas that are around, you know, the basic shitas. They basically will present the important points, remember. And if you learn it that way, you pretty much have the most important things in the Masechta. But that's the Ran in his Pirush on the Rif. We have tshuvas from the Ran, and it's a little bit puzzling why so few tshuvas. And we have less than 100 tshuvas at the Ran. To compare it to the Rashba, where we have thousands of tshuvas in the Rashba that are published, compared to Rivash, we have a yam of tshuvas in Rivash. The Ran, who seem to have that same standing, we don't have many tshuvas. There are different suggestions as to why not, but Akapanim, it is. We don't have many tshuvas of it. We have two Sfarim that are interesting Sfarim in the world of Agadata. We have something called Drushes Aran, about a dozen or 13 Drushes, and we have a Pirush on Chumash that goes up to Chayesara. It seems as if he was nifted, because it's not as if we're missing in Kisuyadus. Anything he found ever was to Chayesara, and anyone mentions the earlier, you know, Rishonim that mentioned the Ran's Pirush, you know, that he wrote in Tul Chayesara. So it seemed to have been Tul Chayesara. It's hard to believe that he set out to write just Tul Chayesara. It obviously must have been Nifta. That's the most logical explanation. Joshua Saran is a very interesting sefer. It's today, anything that has hard words is called philosophical. He does not have the devotion to philosophy or philosophers that somebody like Ralbag has or others like that. He's against it. He was from the people that were not for it. He also stays away from Kabbalah, and he writes in a place that the Ramban was to care himself too much on the Kabbalah. I don't know if the implication is he was into it too much, the Pirush is too much, but Kapanu, he didn't like it. His Pirushim is the Drushes Aran. Each Drushes Aran deals with a certain idea, with a certain concept. Not different than the Akedah in some ways. I mean, not Meirach, the Akedah, a different style. But the type of concepts that you would come out with are weighty, rational type concepts, without the philosophical, without bringing in a slew of concepts of Tzura and Chayma and so on and so forth. They really have no relevance. They're not the, you know, none of that type of language. I'm going to speak afterwards. I'm going to say over two fascinating points from Joshua Saran, but I want to speak more about his Rabbanus first, then we'll come back to Joshua Saran and this Pirush HaTorah. The Pirush HaTorah and Joshua Saran are very similar, and you know, whenever you have a suffix, one sefer, if it came from the Ran, it wasn't clear. Some people said Joshua Saran came from somebody else, and Lemaisa, his Pirush and his Joshua's are very, very, you know, there are a lot of similar points, enough to make it clear that's the same Mechaber, that's the Ran. So he wrote a yam, an incredible amount, and I'd like to first point out from his Talmud de Rivash a description of his Rebbe. This is in a tshuva, and it is a tshuva shin ayin hey, where somebody tries to argue with him, and he says, "I learned from giants," the Rivash says, meaning the Ran. He mentions him. He says, Nikru Rabbanim loy mipnei iyun betoisvis ein halacha betoisvis or bekiyas zechasa b'shtayim. It's not because they could be ma'ayin at toisvis, they knew mesechta too. Aval she'shoyler some dvar halacha b'chol makom, you can ask him anywhere. V'afilu mesechta z'dekala v'oymir mo'isa alpeh, and they could tell it back alpeh im roiva toisvis b'chol mashiyah b'tolu b'y din. In other words, anything you can ask him anywhere in Shas, he'll tell you the Gemara with most of the Tosfos Balpeh. He says, and all the dinim they would bring to him, din oipsak lifneihem yichru kol yoishve oihel v'toifsei atayra yovik kol basel lishtachavoyis. All of the chashotim rachamim would come before him and defer to him. Ominas chadlu nesofu mimenu b'chatoyim. One from when he left the world, nishar ha'olam shemim v'galmud. The world has become empty and orphaned. Luli Hashem tzvokas hazon sarit. That's how he writes about him. He writes about him in another place, Ruach ha'peinam sheikh Hashem. He writes about him that all the chachamim were keklipas hashum and kegagre sumsum keneged rabbeinu. That is the harocha that Rivosh had to the Ram. Well, incredible. However, having such great harocha doesn't mean that your life is easy. The Ran, first of all, was put in jail together with the Rivosh and Reb Chastoy Kreskes and a few others in a parasha, in a difficult parasha. We don't know exactly what it is, but first I'll read from the Rivosh what he writes about it. And he says like this. This is in Tshuva's Shinayin Vav. He says, somebody wrote him a letter, very annoyed with the fact that he hadn't answered him a previous letter. Asha Marta Shahoyli Leshalames Nedorai Bali Ichor, you told me that I owe you this, a response immediately, and I shouldn't wait to answer, delay to answer. So he says, he says, because it's very simple stuff, no reason why you can't answer it. Ashivcha, ata yoshiv aholim, you're sitting in a nice house, malachcha nasa de acherim, other people are taking care of your needs, ve'ein machrid umatrid, and nobody's bothering you. Vani derech eretz al tzavari, first of all, I have a lot of practical issues I need to take care of. Mitzurif, ki ze korav leheichadoshim, it's been 5 months. Koma noshim bnei bliyal mikirbeinu. Some terrible Jews got up. Got velilu harav hagodol rabbeinu nisim natriachmana. They were moitzia an alila, a libel on rabbeinu nisim. Veshishin echbadim nakol ubeseicham achocham dan chastoy natriachmana vani veochi vumosrum oisam lemalchus. We were put in jail. and we're still out on bail for something, for nothing that we did wrong. Yosalem gemul Hashem k'maisdei. May Hashem pay back the people that did this to us. The way, you know, kefi what they did to us. I mean, ozla matzas yerevagis mesh. I've been able to learn since then. So Duran and his talmidim were in jail. So there's one theory. It's not clear at all for what reason. There's one story that happened that would make sense. It's just the type of thing, but for two reasons, it doesn't seem that that's it. There was one of the many, many alilas, but this one was more famous. They jailed and so on. Was they accused somebody of stealing one of the Christian silver and something or others from the altar with a host and selling it to a Jew and so on. That was a libel, and therefore they threw everybody to jail. They tortured them. V'cholhu. The years don't seem to be right from that story. And also, he says over here that Jews are responsible and somebody was motzi alil on them. So it doesn't seem that that's the story. Even though some people ascribe that story to it, it's just we know the story. We know we're in jail. We know of a story of an event like that. So we put two of them together. But just there are too many different things that don't match up. It does seem that he had a way of getting people angry with him in the Kehillah. Most of the shailas that we do have, the shailas that we have in the Tshuvas, a lot of them deal with Kehillah. Every Kehillah was run by a Vad. They would collect taxes. They would give them out. There was a lot of issues with that. The Jews had an internal autonomy. And people feel that seems the most reasonable area where people wanted some revenge. There's another letter from the Rivash that he writes to somebody, which indicates that the Ran's life was not easy with his Balbatim. He says, the Rivash responds to somebody. This is Reishu Tess. He says, what you told me is right, and the things that those people have done are not right, terrible, and it is appropriate to come out against them. But he says, I have some good advice for you. You need to get some people on your side. And he says, because if you don't have people that will back you and help you, you're going to just end up in trouble. And he says, I remember in Barcelona, my Rebbe Reb Nissim, who's the Ran, kishe roitze lochiach al eze dava me'atzmoy. So if he wanted to do anything, if he wanted to mochiach people on his own, then some of the k'tzas mashir kol, so some of the wealthy people in the community would get upset with him, and they would negate his whatever it was that he came out against. Despite the fact that some of the community liked him and were friends with his, and despite the fact that even Goyim appreciated him, still the wealthy people in the community were able to stand up against him and to block whatever it is they wanted to do. And therefore, until you don't form a big enough coalition with the wealthy important people, I advise you not to do it. So the Rivash gives us a picture, and this is he's speaking about a general situation where the Balabatim were not happy with what he wanted to do, and they would block it. I think it's a little hard to believe, but it's not. That was the Metzias. People did not like very much what Rabbanim wanted from them, and they came out against them. It seems that that's a type of thing that was prevalent enough that probably some Balabatim got too upset at the tirch of every time having to block him, that they tried to get him arrested, just and you know, so they won't have to be bothered each time to do something about it. That seems to be a more reasonable inyan, because it's very clear that he's cursing the Jews. He's saying, you know, if Bnei Blial of Chayesol, so on and so forth. those are some of the Kehillah stuff that we have. I went through some of the tshuvas. There's another interesting thing that seemed to have been very prevalent. You have a few tshuvas along the following lines. Somebody swore with a shvur chamura he's not going to divorce his wife ever and ever, and he swore this, and he swore that, and he swore this, and then he will change his mind, and if they can't find a way to undo the shvur, he's just going to leave her without giving her a get, and so on and so forth. Very fascinating. That seemed to be in a few places where people would actually swear, give it kiskaf and a shvur chamura, they would do X, Y, or Z, and so on. That's one thing that kind of I saw in a few tshuvas. I want to go to two things in the Drashas Haran that are interesting. One is an interesting concept, and the other one is it's on this week's parashah, B'Shalach. I thought I would share it. But let's first see the one that has just interesting aside. The Ran speaks in his, I think it's the 10th Drasha, about what is the job of a melech in Klal Yisrael. For melech b'mishpat yamid aretz, melech b'mishpat, and so on and so forth. Melech is mishpat. Where's the Sanhedrin? Where's the Bezdin, and so on? So the Ran says, very important yisod. He says, the chiyuvei mishpat that the Torah gave us are important mitzvahs, but there's a lot missing that the Torah is not misyachas to, that is more ad hoc, and you need to fill it in that way. So you recognize that people are stealing too rapidly. So you need to impose maybe malchus for stealing. People are doing X, Y, or Z. So in each tkufa, you need to enact laws that are relevant to keep law and order in the community. It's one of the things that I find usually very irksome. When they talked about the tshuven, actually in my house a few weeks ago, there was an Israeli group, and the presenter was telling it, and I didn't say anything because it's his show and I wasn't going to intervene. They say the Jewish system of law is much better than the Goyish system. The answer is, as no shaykhis, one to the other. There is way too much missing in halacha to be able to run a country. It's not meant for that. The halacha of Bezdin and all the dinim, which is quite a lot that Bezdin enacts, is the ability to bring a higher mishpat into this world. In other words, din shemayim. But to run a country, you need to have many, many more laws. And therefore, he says, the melech's job was to make the laws that are practical takanis needed for the preservation and due functioning of society. That's what the melech was. That was very temporal. It was shayach to this world. Bezdin brought in halachis of mani afata. Kadosh Baruch Hu is dan dinim. He allowed us to be dan some of the dinim ki'ilu with dinim shamayim. That's what the Ran says in Rosh Hashanah. Then he says, once we don't have a melech, but the dinim became de facto a melech also, and it's their job to enact takanis that make society viable. This Ran is in Rosh Hashanah. The Beis Yosef Mechayesh Mishpat Shin Peches brings the Tshuva Zerashba with a very, very similar assault, that the whole area of Harash Shah in the broad sense of the word is what belongs to Melech, and B'Melech we enact takanas and laws to make society functionable. A contemporary application of this, Reb Chaim Oizer has a letter to Reb Herzog, where basically this was in 38, and the idea of the possibility of having a Medina was kind of theoretically on the horizon. I don't think anyone believed it would happen, but it was. And he asked Reb Chaim Oizer about running a country just on Torah, running a country just with Mishpat Ivri, with just Torah law. And Reb Chaim Oizer writes, he brings down the Beis Yosef, I think he quotes the Ran also, if not mistaken, where he writes and he says, they're trying to balance secular law with religious law, and he said that we need to understand that many areas there is room for the secular law, but it should be done under auspices of Bezdin, and so on. He quotes this Ran and so on and so forth. So the Ran is the prototype for this. At some level, the Truz Rashba is very similar. That there is an inyan of mishpat that is the day-to-day functioning, and the reason the Torah doesn't give it is because it's a more it's a takana that depends time to time. It's each time is a very separate. What's good, laws that are good for the year 2000, not good for 2050, and so on. Finally, I want to finish with a Drasha Saran on this week's Sedra. He asks, how come Klal Yisrael dread so much? They told Paro they'll do X, they'll go out and sacrifice a little bit, and they'll die only 3 days. They told everybody just borrowing stuff from them. A lot of draying over here. Why? So he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hashkacha is way beyond what we understand. Had HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Paro, listen, we're leaving and that's it, and we're taking money, Paro would have said goodbye now at the end of it. Hashem wanted Paro and the Mitzvah to drive themselves into the Yam so that the Nekama of Ashazodu, whatever it is they wanted to do to Klal Yisrael, was done to them. That's what he wanted to do. So had Moshe Rabbeinu come at Makos Bechoros and said, okay, that's it, you know, we're leaving for good riddance, and we're also taking all your money, they wouldn't have chased them. It's because there were so many misleading elements that they allowed themselves to do it. And all of it was Ashkocha, so that they would themselves wouldn't exact from themselves the punishment needed to be exacted. So the Ran writes, if that was true in Mitzrayim, how much more so today? The one thing we know for sure is that we have no idea how the Gula is coming. And, you know, people who walk around saying, yeah, this is this, they have all the pieces put into place, don't know what they're talking about, almost by definition. If you know what it is, then you don't. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu's machshavas are way beyond anything. And he writes, if it was true by Mitzrayim where we had a nevuah and we knew what's coming, and still the Ashkocha outmaneuvered everybody, Allah has come today that we don't know, we have no clue what it is, and who knows what HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Ashkocha is. He writes this also in Drash Ran. He mentions, he said, it's been a few years since this terrible death has struck in the world. He's talking about the Black Plague, which destroyed, was machriv, a huge amount of Europe. It created a phenomenal backlash against the Jews, some places in Spain, yes, some places not. And he says, you know, we see there's a Yad Hashem clearly in it, but basically what it is, we don't know, but it's a very, very, you know, he writes about how this is, it's unnatural because in history there's never been something of such devastating effect so rapidly and so on. And yes, looking back in history, this created a major change. Al-Kuponim, the Ran's Yahrzeit is Tesh Shvat, and if anyone sits, if anyone learns, we use the Ran almost daily, whether it's in the Chiddush Ran or in the back of the Gemara, and you know, even the little we know about it, but the little we know about him, but this, what he left us over was a yam, and it's become a sefer that is a hashlama to the Bali Shita in the Gemara. It's the important shitas on the Sugis Hashas, and for those who look at the Drash Ran, each and every drash of the Ran is a fundamental yesoid, or yesoidis, in Inyanu Vashkafe and in Deis.